Psalm 42:43, a maskil for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee. O God, my God, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. To the chief musician, may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. We have seen that Psalm 42:43 began with great desire on David's part to return to Jerusalem, to the house of God, to the presence of God in the temple. He had such a longing because he was presently where he did not want to be, on the other side of the Jordan River. Historically, he was in this situation because he had fled from Absalom. Absalom raised a revolt against his father, so David had to flee for his life. We have seen David's soul greatly downcast and disheartened, in part because God had not come to save him. But in verse 8, hope was revived. Jehovah has commanded his loving kindness for David. David now sees that God will bring him to victory. This then encouraged David to pray from verse 9 to the end. In verses 9 and 10, we saw David's complaint in his prayer. David was complaining to God that God had forgotten him, and his enemies were harassing him. But this we saw as a complaint of faith. David brought his present trouble to God, believing God would be moved to deliver him. Finally, in 43 verse 1, David prayed that God would defeat these enemies. In 43 verse 2, then, David explains why God should deliver him, but then complains about the situation being not as it should be. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? David asked God to deliver him because God is the God of my strength. The word strength here actually indicates a stronghold, a refuge. He is the God of my stronghold. We have seen several descriptions of God up to this point in the psalm, God of life, God of my life, and God my rock. This phrase, God of my stronghold, using the name Elohim, not El, also describes God in a very powerful way, a description which supports David's faith. God is the one who will preserve David's stronghold in the midst of the attack, so that when the attack is over, his stronghold will still be standing with David, securely found within it. But let us notice that this is given as the reason why God should deliver him from his enemies. When we struggle in the midst of our spiritual battles, we often begin to question God. We see our overwhelming situation around us and recognize our weakness to overcome. But then we look at God, knowing he can deliver us, but wondering if he will. At such moments, we must remember who God is and the relationship we are in with him. He is our strength. He is our strength, and he is in a special covenant relationship with us. He has never failed in his covenant obligations to any of his children. He will secure his people. He will be the God of my stronghold. But David follows this with further complaint, contrasting complaint. Though God was the God of his stronghold, David was presently in a situation of being rejected by God and mourning because of the enemy's oppression. These are contradictory thoughts, contradictory realities. Lord, how can you allow this to happen? But such complaint is again a complaint of faith. He does not say this believing all hope is gone. He speaks this knowing that God is still his hope and seeking to stir God into action by his words. This faith then is given full expression in verses 3 and 4. In the psalm, David has been downcast, longing to be in God's presence. He has been struggling in this quandary of faith. But now at the end of the psalm, David expresses his confident hope of entering God's presence at last. O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. David asks God to send out his light and truth. These will be the means which lead David back to Jerusalem. With God's light, David probably recalls the Shekinah glory, in the cloud during the day and in the fire by night, which led the Israelites through the wilderness. By God's truth, we presumably must understand God's words which lead us. These will bring David back to God's holy hill, Mount Zion, the place God chose to inhabit. These will also bring David back to God's tabernacles. The plural here does not indicate more than one tabernacle or tent, but the various courts in that one tent. There David will go to God's altar, of course implying that he will make sacrifice on that altar to God. Then he will come to God, my exceeding joy. Now this is the final use of El. More literally, the phrase is, El, or God, the joy of my rejoicing. The joy of my rejoicing. The KJV keeps up the words for joy with the expression, my exceeding joy. But I think the phrase, the joy of my rejoicing, indicates that God is that joy which is the focus of his rejoicing. From the beginning of the psalm, David longed to come before God and to give God praise for having delivered him. But he was prevented from this because of his situation of not yet being delivered. But again we see David's expression of faith. God is, God, the joy of my rejoicing, because he will come and deliver him. He will yet answer my prayer. He will be the focus of my joy and the object of my praise. Then David ends his prayer, indicating the praise David will give with the harp and calling God, God, my God. We have seen so many descriptions of God throughout this psalm. God, my God, covers everything. He claims the one true God to be his God. This is so very hard to do without faith, especially in the midst of hardships. How many Christians break off their relationship with God in the midst of troubles? This, of course, is what Jesus described with the seed that grew in rocky soil. It springs up quickly, but cannot get its roots down in the soil, to provide the moisture it needs. So when the sun rises, in other words, the hardships of life, the plant is left to dry up and die. Whatever faith was displayed, that faith died when the hardships were too much. But in the midst of troubles, David's faith still is thriving. It is certain that his troubles threw his faith to the ground and stomped on it to kill it. But God, our God, has a wonderful way of making true faith strong enough to endure. Slowly, surely, it will rise to the occasion, overcome, and stand victorious. It will not dry up and deny its God. Even in the struggle, true faith rejoices in that God is still and will forever be my God. So then the psalm ends with the psalmist again turning to his soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Whereas the first time these words were spoken to a despairing soul that did not even seem like it was listening, then a second time to a soul rising in faith. Now David speaks to a soul standing strong, confident that what is being said is absolutely true and assured. With the questions, why are you bowed down and groaning? The confident soul responds, yeah, why am I so troubled? With the final words of wait for God, the soul says confidently, yes, that is what I will do. I am not going to be troubled anymore. I will wait and see what God will do for me. And so this psalm gives full expression to our troubles, from being downcast to standing strong again. It is almost certain that each of us will find ourselves downcast again in this life. We are so weak. Our enemies are so strong. Our faith is so weak. And it sometimes seems as if God is nowhere in sight. In such a troubled time, go back to Psalm 42:43. Read again and again these words to wait for God. He is the God of life, the God of my life, God my rock, the God of my stronghold, God the joy of my rejoicing. He is the full salvation of my face and my God. Then in your trouble, wait confidently for God with full expectation that he will care for you.